Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, the Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get things going on our Flames Talk postgame show this evening following a Flames 3-1 loss to Detroit here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's kick things off by going to the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. We're joined by Flames forward Martin Pospisil after this 3-1 loss to Detroit. Martin, how did you see this game this evening for your group?
You know, I think the start was pretty good. I think the first 10 minutes, I think we were dominating, and like we were controlling the game. But all of a sudden, they score one, and I think overall it was a good game. We need to just score goals. You know, we need some greasy goal. We need to going to the net more. And at the end of the day, you need to score some goals.
That second period, you had all kinds of chances as a team. Is that just kind of what it takes, Marty? A little bit greasier, a little bit hungrier around the crease?
Yeah, of course. I think the game would be completely different if we score one in the second period. Yeah. So, we need to keep going to the net and get some greasy goals tomorrow.
Tell us about playing with your new line mate. You had Morgan Frost centering your line with you and Yegor. What was it like playing with Morgan tonight?
I think it was good. I think he's pretty smart and skilled center. And like you said, we had a couple of really good looks in the second period. And tomorrow, hopefully, we will score some goals.
This team has been pretty good of late, Marty, in bouncing back and responding after a loss. How do you make sure that you do that tomorrow night in Seattle?
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround. Make sure we are ready. And, tomorrow is going to be a new day, a new game. So we need to get ready.
Marty, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. Good luck tomorrow in Seattle, hey?
Thank you.
That is Martin Pospisil after this 3-1 loss to Detroit here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And that's our look from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Flames Talk postgame is underway on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. Well, lots to get into tonight. I guess, Mick, let's start with the story of the night before we get to the game itself. Story of the night, marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota, was the two new additions, the new reinforcements. Those would be Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost. How do we like their Flames debut? Seemed like there were some really good stretches for both guys and were around at different times in this game tonight.
Yeah, I thought they both played really well. Frost had a couple of turnovers that were not ideal, far from ideal. But, I mean, for playing your first game with a new team when you got in at 9:30 p.m. Yeah. The night before, you're trying to digest all of the new systems, all of your new teammates, an entirely new environment in terms of dressing room staff, everything and everybody that you're dealing with. You're not rested. I thought they both did a really good job. And what I like about both of them, I would say, is just it very evident that they're very smart hockey players, and they both have a lot of poise, I would say, with the puck, their ability to make plays. And both of them were very clearly not afraid to go to the front of the net. There were a number of times where they were both parked right in front of Cam Talbot and trying to make things happen. So I just think that, considering the circumstances, they both played really well. Frost went 50% in the faceoff circle, which was, very good and promising to see. So I thought they both had really good games.
Yeah, I thought Farabee was probably a little bit more dangerous than Frost, but he was also playing on the right side of the first
top
time
line
with Kadri and Huberto, so I suppose that was to be expected. But yeah, when you consider the fact that I'm sure this caught them off guard, the trade that happened on Thursday night, and then it was a whirlwind to try to sort your life out and jump on a plane and get here on Friday and then play on Saturday, and you know, you're trying to get used to a new city and a new organization and new coaches and new teammates and a little bit different way of playing the game. So I thought both guys looked pretty good in their Flames debut tonight. And, you know, for me, this game reminded me a lot of Tuesday's game against the Capitals, where the Flames did a lot of good things, could have won that game. They lost 3-1. Tonight, I liked a lot of what they did, and another 3-1 loss to the Red Wings.
Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee make their Flames debut. That's your marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. It's time to Toyota at the giant Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clear out is on. Get financing as low as 0% OAC with zero down and no payments until July 2025. I don't think I introduced everybody. I know we all know who everybody is, but I usually like to do that. Megan Mickelson, Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now we also say hello to Flames assistant coach Dan Lambert, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge following this one tonight. Dan, how did you see this game from your group's perspective? What did you like, maybe what you didn't like tonight?
Well, I thought it was unfortunate we fell behind 2-0 in the first period. You know, overall it was a pretty good period. We had some looks. We didn't capitalize. They did on their looks. Second period, I thought that we had a lot of ozone time. We had a lot of looks again, some tips that just either missed the net or, you know, just didn't go in the net, or we weren't able to get to the rebounds. You know, and it was unfortunate. Honestly, I thought it was a good effort by our group. Just couldn't find the back of the net.
Well, we were just talking about the two newcomers in Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. Just what did you think of their Flames debuts?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought they played well. You know, they had some offensive opportunities. Both of them did. I thought they battled. I thought they gave us what they could. You know, those young men go over those last 24 hours or whatever it is, 48 hours. It's a whirlwind, and I thought that they handled themselves very well tonight.
You guys scored a power play goal in that 3-1 loss to the Capitals on Tuesday. You score another power play goal in this 3-1 loss to the Red Wings. So power play has been productive. You guys have scored now 5 power play goals in the last 5 games. 5-on-5. Are you getting enough looks? And if so, what do you have to do to maybe capitalize on more of those chances?
Well, you know, you talk about looks, and I mean, did they have been more looks than we did tonight? Probably not. You know, the reality is they capitalized.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
when you know we had I think it was Sharon Govich had a really good opportunity. Goalie was kind of down and out. He got a rebound, and you know, like we need our guys to score in those situations. I mean, you know, they're a pretty good hockey team right now. They're a pretty stingy hockey team right now, and you're not going to get 25 scoring chances. When you get them, you've got to capitalize, and we haven't found a way to do that, unfortunately. And I mean, what do we have to do? We got to bury it. Mm-hmm. It's not a secret. I mean, when you get those looks, it's nothing against anybody. It's just, you know, right now when you're not feeling it, maybe. Or, you know, you're gripping your stick a little bit tighter. But we got to find a way to, you know, to get maybe more looks and make it harder on goalies.
Dan Lambert is with us, Flames assistant coach, following this 3-1 loss to Detroit. You know, you do a lot of work with the defense, Dan, and you haven't had Kevin since that game in Minnesota, Kevin Ball. And you've put together some new pairings. Specifically, how have you liked the way Tyson Barrie has come in? I know he's playing his offside, which is difficult sometimes for guys doing that. How have you liked the way he stepped in and been on that pairing with Braden Pahal?
Yeah, you know what? I think they've been pretty solid. You know, Tyson, you know, it's not often that right-handed defensemen play on their offside, and Tyson has done it. I mean, he did it bunch of years back in junior a little bit, just because he never came off the ice. But the reality is, you know, now I think he's starting to get more comfortable with it. We tried him a little bit in training camp, but I just feel like now he's probably, after having that stint with the Wranglers, I think really helped his game, because it had been a while since he had played, and I think that boosted his confidence also. I think he's played well. Him and Patches have looked good together.
I want to ask about the other two who are also playing in elevated roles, and Joel Hanley and Jake Bean, and I guess just as a whole as well, the defense group, and I mean, losing Kevin Ball, that's a big hole to fill. But so I guess just my question, a quick thought maybe on Hanley and Bean and how they've done and the D-Core in general.
Well, you know what? We didn't give up a whole lot against the Washington Capitals. They're a high-scoring team. We in Minnesota, we lost Ball. We had five defense for a lot of that game. Tonight, we basically gave up two goals. And I don't know that the D were necessarily at fault. You know, you're asking guys to play out of their chair chair that they should be in.
Right.
And they've elevated their game. I think they've done a great job.
It feels like since the Christmas break, you guys have played in one back-to-back, 3-4, and 6-8 after another. You guys will wrap up another one of those stretches tomorrow in Seattle. You guys are now 5-2 in the first half of back-to-backs, but 1-5 in the second half. How much of a learning curve is there, especially for young players, trying to figure out just how to handle those second games in a back-to-back?
Well, the NHL is a hard league, and you know, it does take time to kind of get that just that experience of going through it, and there's no other way to learn it other than going through it. And I think our guys are slowly doing that. I think there's a couple young guys last year, they were no good in the back-to-backs. This year they've gotten better, and I think that's going to continue to improve.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the time. As always, good luck tomorrow, eh?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That is Dan Lambert, Flames assistant coach, following this one tonight, a Flames 3-1 setback against the Detroit Red Wings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson, Pat Steinberg around the table. Flames talk postgames underway. Let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Megan Mickelson, where are you leaning on hardest working Flame tonight?
Well, I'm going to give a couple honorable mentions. One to Dustin Wolf, who I thought was excellent, especially early on in the third period, where I feel like they took on a lot of water and made the, as Wilsey called it, the scorpion save to keep the team in it. So I thought that he was, once again, just really, really solid and strong. Also, just Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. I mean, what they've been through the last couple of days and coming in, and like, I don't think it can be overstated, you know, a player going into a new environment. I mean, you have your routines and all the things that you go through on a game day or practice day, whatever. So I thought that they both did a great job in coming in and playing some really solid games in a tough situation. But I'm going to give it to Nazem Kadri, just because I really feel like he stepped up in the third period, as he always does, but he played a bag of minutes, 21:49, which for the forwards, that was the most minutes, but the only guy who played more than him was Mackenzie Weegar on the back end. He had 9 shot attempts. So I thought that he was the most competitive guy on the ice and definitely earns the hardest worker.
Maddie Rose and I were upstairs watching, and we were we very much were like, geez, Kadri looks like he has shot into the cannon all night long tonight and did a really good job driving that line. Nazem Kadri, hardest working Flame after this 3-1 loss to Detroit. Okay, let's get some final thoughts from you two before the Flames and everybody resets to go take on the Seattle Kraken on Sunday night. Final score here, 3-1 loss against the Red Wings. Seattle, 7 o'clock face-off on Sunday night. Final thoughts from our broadcast duo, starting with Megan Mickelson.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Dan more in that, you know, you give up those two goals in the first period and the Flames continue to be, you know, at the bottom of the league and last in first period goals scored. So you have to find ways to come out in games and play with the lead. So it just felt like they were chasing it from there on out and just couldn't find a way to score 5-on-5. And I mean, it's something they're going to have to try to figure out. And you obviously, as a player, you don't want to think about it too much because then you get in your own head a little bit too much and, you know, start to grip your stick and then you're not playing and reacting the way that you should. So just finding ways to generate some offense 5-on-5 moving forward is going to be very important.
As I said earlier, tonight's loss to the Red Wings reminded me a lot of Tuesday's loss to the Capitals, where I liked a lot of what the Flames did. I actually thought that they were the better of the two teams in that game. They just didn't get a lot of puck luck. Tonight just didn't finish. I think they played a pretty good game tonight, but ultimately it's a results-based business. They finished this three-game homestand 1-2, and they're going to have to find ways to score more goals down the stretch. And I do think the two new guys are going to help them do that. And, you know, we saw some good stuff from both Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost in their Flames debuts tonight. Another thing the Flames are going to have to figure out moving forward is how to be better in the second half of back-to-backs. It's not easy, I get it. And we're on the plane with them, and we know the team's going to get into Seattle probably at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, young players especially are trying to figure out how to go about their business playing in the second half of back-to-backs because their game day routine gets all messed up. There's no morning skate. You're getting up at different times. You're eating at different times. But, you know, the Flames, all of a sudden, are only 1 point ahead of the Canucks with the same number of games played in that fight for the second wild card. So it's an important 2 points on the table at Climate Pledge Arena tomorrow night. So looking forward to what should be a good hockey game. And just before we sign off, just a big thank you to my friends Trudy and Daryl for being here at the morning skate, being here at the game, and most importantly, for supporting the Prostate Cancer Center through the Prentice Greens Charity Classic. It was great to have you guys here, and looking forward to a good game tomorrow night.
Really felt like another one of those nights where when you're really the most dominant, if you could have got one in the second period, you really wonder where that game would have gone, because
yeah,
they were dominant in period number two, but Cam Talbot shut the door, and he was very, very good tonight.
Or if Matt Coronato would have scored when he hit the post.
Early in the first?
Period.
Yep, yeah. Good point. Now you got that early lead. Okay, if talk to you tomorrow.
It's and butts were candies and nuts. How does that go?
I'm going to just
have a Merry Christmas.
Good night. Turn your mic off. That's Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson signing off on this Saturday night. Flames fall 3-1 to the Detroit Red Wings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska as he just wrapped up in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge his post-game thoughts after this loss to Detroit.
Coach, what was the difference for you tonight?
What was the difference?
Yeah. In terms of, like, it seems just the first period seemed to be a couple of bounces go against you.
There's a few mistakes that were made. But again, this one was similar to the Washington game where I liked a lot of what we did. We just, find a way to score a goal. And tonight there was some situations where I don't think Talbot saw pucks that were coming at him, and whether deflection went the wrong way or he's looking one way and we just missed the net on some opportunities, we just weren't able to get the goal tonight. Similar to the Washington game.
What did you think of Frost and Farabee in their debuts?
I liked them both. I thought they did a good job. It's been a long couple days for them. And I thought they did a good job. Like, we threw them pretty much into every situation, and I thought both guys handled it well.
18 minutes for Farabee and 17:20 for Frost. It's well up from their average this year. Is that something you're trying to do, get them on the ice a little bit more?
Well, I think it's a little bit with who we were playing them with tonight, too. Like, Naz and Hubie play a lot. So Joel's going to, of course, be on the ice with those guys when he is, and it's the same with Frost. Like, the three lines that we lean on fairly heavily, and, maybe more so when your fourth line's on the ice for a goal against. So, as I said before, I think both those guys did a great job.
You see glimpses of some of the skill that you hope that they'll bring that will kind of bump that goals?
There was some small plays that they did make, like plays through sticks. There's a little bit of composure with the puck, and they were strong on the puck as well. So I did see some things tonight, yes.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post-game tonight following a Flames 3-1 loss to the Detroit Red Wings. Short and sweet from the head coach on this Saturday night. Okay, Flames Talk post-game show is underway. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. As, the phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. We're pretty thin on the phone lines tonight, so if you want to jump in, now's the time to do so. Call now, 403-240-4444. What'd you think of Morgan Frost? What'd you think of Joel Farabee in their Flames debuts? You can get those thoughts in. What'd you think of the game itself? What'd you think of the trade itself if you couldn't get in on Thursday night? All of that on the table here at the Scotiabank Saddledome and here on Flames Talk postgame. We'll take a break, come back, get to your phone calls, get to your texts. Call now, 403-240-4444. Flames Talk's available wherever you get your podcasts and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames fall 3-1 to the Detroit Red Wings as they wrap up this three-game homestand with one win and two losses as we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A few things to dive into. First of all, phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Got one line open right now if you want to chat. Text lines open at 960-960. We'll get both to the text and the phone lines here very shortly. I thought that this was a game where, on balance, I thought the Flames played a decent game. The couple mistakes that led to the two goals in the first period, which were the two goals that decided this hockey game. But the biggest area for me that I thought was kind of turning point territory for Calgary was that second period where they had an 8-0 edge in high danger chances. They had a 34-14 edge in shot attempts, all at 5-on-5, and they couldn't beat Cam Talbot once. And by the time Nazem Kadri scored his goal on the power play, Detroit had settled back in. I didn't think Calgary was as dominant, anywhere near as dominant in the third period. I thought it was a pretty even third period and a good road third period by the Flames. A good road third period by the Red Wings. So had the Flames found a way to get even one past Talbot in that second period, you go to an intermission knowing that you've done a lot of good things and you've got on the board. Instead, they went to the intermission knowing that they probably did a lot of good things, but probably a little frustrated knowing that they didn't score. Thought Wolf was good. Thought another solid outing for him. Obviously, former Flame Talbot was very strong as he continues his renaissance in Detroit. And in the end, Flames just didn't have enough in the debuts of Farabee and Frost. As for those two, here are the final numbers on Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost. Farabee tonight had 3 shot attempts, 1 scoring chance, and I thought that he was kind of all around it but couldn't get things to quite go. Frost, on the other hand, had 6 shot attempts, 3 scoring chances, and 1 high danger. And I thought both guys had some moments. I thought both guys also looked like it was their, at times, their first game with a new team. So kind of a little bit of column A and column B. But I think for a debut for guys that didn't get in until about 9:30 last night, there was lots to like about Farabee and Frost. And see, how about that acclimation to a new team? Back-to-back with travel in between, just like that, Detroit and then into Seattle. That's a good way to get going. Oh, and then again, they'll play on Tuesday against the Maple Leafs, a 3-4 to get your feet wet as a member of the Flames. So I thought they were good. Thought there were some nice flashes and a positive start for both Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost as members of the Flames. Let's hear from both of them. Let's start with Morgan Frost, as he and Joel Farabee very close when they were members of the Flyers, still tight now as members of the Flames. And this is Morgan Frost, his thoughts post game tonight following a 3-1 loss to the Red Wings.
How did it feel to get that out of the way? It was the result you guys wanted, but got to put in front of the sea of red tonight. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was exciting. I thought the fans were great. Everyone in the room was so great to Joel and I, and made us feel welcome, and felt like we could just go play our game. So, I think, like you said, not the result we want, but for me personally, it's nice to get the first one out of the way, and hopefully build off that, and be better for tomorrow.
You look pretty confident, Morgan, carrying the puck into the zone, having the puck on your stick. Did you feel comfortable out there?
Yeah, for the most part. I think, I probably turned the puck over a few too many times and, gave them some scoring chances. But I think for me to be effective, I kind of have to be playing that way and play with confidence. And like I said, everyone in here was so great. So, felt a little nervous, but once I got that first shift out of the way, I felt good after that.
What were your first impressions of your line mates?
Good. I thought we had some good ozone shifts, and we were getting pucks in the net, just kind of weren't getting the bounces, and I think that was a lot of the game for the team. I thought we put in some good minutes, and kind of just couldn't get the bounces and couldn't put one in the back of the net, and obviously a couple of mistakes cost us, but like I said, I thought we put in some good minutes, and I really enjoyed playing with those guys.
Did it feel any different, like, spotlight-wise? Now, this city's been talking about you and Joel for the past 48 hours. Like, does it feel different kind of knowing that?
Honestly, not really. It's been so much going on. Don't even have time to really think about that. Just thinking about I've been talking to so many people and met so many new people the last couple of days, and like I said, there's been so much going on around it that it was kind of nice to just be on the ice and focus on playing hockey for a few hours there.
When you arrive here, it's a back-to-back and not much practice time. Is there anything else you could do to kind of get acclimated with your teammates, so they can watch video or...
I mean, the coaches were great showing Joel and I stuff, and tried to soak up as much as we could, and obviously still going to be some learning curves there, and learning how some guys play on the team and how we can kind of integrate ourselves. But off the ice, like I said, everyone was great, and it's tough to come into a back-to-back for sure, but at the same time, it might be better because you can kind of just go play hockey, like I said, not worry about stuff, and regroup after.
That is Morgan Frost post-game after his Calgary Flames debut. And now the gentleman who came over from Philadelphia with him, here's Joel Farabee, his thoughts post-game after this one tonight.
How'd that feel out there?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. I thought I had pretty good legs. Just trying to read off my line mates, just kind of learning as I went. And I thought we kind of, took control of the play. I mean, a couple bad bounces. I think we hit three crossbars or something. So could have went either way, in my opinion. But, I felt pretty good out there.
Do you feel a different sort of pressure? Like, knowing the city's been talking about you and Morgan, that everyone was going to be watching you guys tonight, does that feel any different?
Not really. Maybe if I was, a couple years ago or if I was a little younger. But I think now I kind of, my preparation before games is pretty much the same. So I think for us, we just tried to go out there and just make some plays, play the right way, and, help out the team.
You guys travel a lot, so it may feel totally normal, but is it weird getting into your new home and then 24 hours later you're flying off to Seattle?
I mean, it's the NHL. It's kind of just how it goes. You don't get to pick, your spots. So just trying to, do what we can, help the team, and, just try and, be good guys away from the ring.
What's going through your head when you have a partial breakaway on your second shift with your new team?
I was maybe a little too excited. I think I could have probably held on to it, but it was a really good play by Uyghur to find me there, and I got to help him out and, try and get something on net there.
That is Joel Farabee, his thoughts post-game. So Farabee and Morgan Frost each make their debuts. And I would imagine that they keep the line combinations the same tomorrow. I mean, wouldn't necessarily be a shock if they made a couple of tweaks. Like, I know they'd like to get Daniil Miramanov back in, so wouldn't be a surprise if Miramanov somehow got back in, just because it is the second half of the back-to-back. And that's not to suggest that the pairings have been poor over the last little bit, but sometimes, Miramanov's got a little while without playing, and so I do think they would like to get him back in at some point, so second half of back-to-back might be the time to do that. And the fourth line kind of struggled in this game tonight. Maybe they think about putting Rooney back in and maybe take a Bishop out or a Klapka out or something like that. I could see those things changing, but really the Flames don't have a whole lot else they can do. With Farabee and Frost in, it's now kind of a situation where, they're a little bit more set, and there's just a little bit more of a pretty clear top nine. So you could do some mixing and matching here and there, but for the most part, like, you got a pretty good idea of what this top nine forward group is going to look like. So last thing that we'll touch on before we hit the text line, and that is Dustin Wolf. It's time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Tonight was the 16th start in the last 21 games for Dustin Wolf as he continues to take over the crease, and his save of the game comes in period number 3.
Rims the puck around to the right point to Uyghur. Tries to shot. Goes off the heel of his stick, though. And now Kopp tries to bring Tarasenko. Bank pass off the end boards. Tarasenko robbed by Wolf, who makes a scorpion save on the right wing sniper.
That ends up being, and that was a beautiful stop, that ends up being one of the 21 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Nick, by the way, you didn't have to take all the beer cans. I didn't know there were so many in there. Nick and Kevin are with us. We had a couple of tours going on. done. Kevin Leung bid on a trip, a tour behind the scenes thing a little bit. So they're hanging out in the Hot Stove Lounge on this Saturday as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway. Flames are out of here and are out of here quick. They are, as we speak right now, probably halfway to the airport where they will go wheels up to Seattle and then get ready to play the Kraken on Sunday night, which, of course, is something we can talk about on our Flames Talk postgame show and a whole lot more. Okay. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. Got a bunch of texts to get through, and then to the phone lines we'll go. We'll start with Jordan, who says, wow, what an awesome game to watch. Too bad they didn't end up pulling out a win. I don't know if I've ever watched a game where the Flames have worked that hard and not been rewarded for it. On to the next one, I suppose. That comes from Jordan in Mahogany. This reads, hope people are prepared for ninth place Flames. The token just missed the playoffs and give up another young asset to Montreal for the ridiculous Monahan trade. Got to play to the script. I mean, that seems a little cynical, knowing that they are the in a playoff spot as we speak right now. Scotty in Victoria says, disappointing finish tonight. Does appear that they were the better team and deserved to win, as was mentioned on the broadcast. That said, they can't expect to win if they can't find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. Wolf did his job of shutting out the Red Wings after the first. The offense needs to find a way of scoring 3+ a night. Anywho, hopefully a better outcome tomorrow. Thanks, Pat. That comes from Scotty. Honestly, Scotty, I don't think that 3+ a night on a regular basis is going to happen at any point this season. It'll happen here or there, but on a regular basis, no, this is not a high-scoring team, and they are not going to be a high-scoring team. This is a very low-scoring, grinded-out, structured team that needs to be comfortable and is comfortable playing in close one-goal games. So to say, like, and I'm not trying to pick on Scott, he's one of our regular texters, but it's more just like, I don't know if there is going to be a circumstance where they find a way to regularly score 3+. Now, I do think adding Farabee and Frost can help in that regard, but I do think this is going to be, we're now 50+ games into the season. I don't think at any point that they're going to be a team that ends up being a really high-scoring one. I mean, I thought the first period was pretty even. Third period was pretty even. But that second period, the Flames were definitely the better team and couldn't get one past Talbot. This from Bert in Cochrane. Doesn't matter who's on this team, new or old, they can't score. It's harsh, but sadly true. This from Jeff in Lethbridge, who says, couldn't finish. Frustrating for the team and fans. Definitely a game they should have won. Pretty good debut for the newbies. Will take some time to gel with their new teammates and get totally familiar with systems. To me, there are too many soft plays by Sharangovich, and if this is the case, he better start finishing some plays. I mean, yeah, Sharangovich is never going to be the grittiest or hardest player. That is very much not what he is, and so when he is finishing, those things are a little easier to accept. Mean Gene says, decent effort, far more ozone time for the Flames. They got goalied a bit, but felt they didn't get in Talbot's face enough. As for the new guys, Farabee and Frost both looked gassed to me. Every time I saw them, they were huffing and puffing, jet lagged, I figure. Can't blame them. More to come, I am certain. And they might have been bagged. I mean, this was quick turnaround, shock value. They had to pack up their lives in a matter of hours and then take a long flight and change two time zones and then play a game the next day. I mean, if they were bagged, you can probably can't blame them, right? This reads from Trent. Wolf had a decent game but still lacking in offense. I don't see the point of leaving the net empty down two with only 30 seconds left. Can't wait for Zary and Ball to get back in the lineup. I don't think the new guys hurt them, but unfortunate that neither of them produced in their debuts. Talbot's always been a Flames killer. On to the next game. This reads, good game tonight. Breezy and Frosty were noticeable in their debut. They got goalied. the Flames will have better luck in Seattle. What would the Flames be looking for by the trade deadline and what's out there? I mean, I still think a left-shot defenseman is and a guy that maybe can pseudo-slide into the top four, I think would be the number one thing now for the Flames if they were to go looking for another addition. This says, the only excuse for Backlund's lack of compete and casual play is an injury. One of the worst captains in the NHL and the worst captain in Flames history. That is... slightly harsh. I will say that this texter has had it out for Michael Backlund. I'm reading the last number of texts. This texter not a big fan of Backlund. No, he is not one of the worst captains in the NHL, nor is he the worst captain in Flames history. That's silliness. That being said, I do think Michael's playing through something right now. In fact, I can almost be 100% certain Michael's playing through something right now. He's coming out. He's not doing morning skates. He's not practicing right now. He has been out a couple times prior to morning skate, so and skating on his own. I'm almost certain that Michael Backlund's playing. Well, no, I am certain Michael Backlund's playing through something. I don't know the severity of it, but I do think that he's playing through something right now. Tyson and Leduc, didn't the Oilers have the same result with Todd when they hired him? Interesting. Flames are playing hard, well, but they seemed a bit disorganized, especially their power play. Wolf was good. Don't know who he's trying to talk about was good, but another player was good. Just need that extra step. Can't wait to see more of the new guys. How'd you think they did? Yeah, I thought they played well. Thought they were around it. Had some good moments. Murray says, sounded like they didn't take advantage of a tired Red Wings team after icings. Got to win those offensive draws, and they're chasing the game a little too much lately. Need to play with a little more of the lead lately. They may have slightly been goalied tonight as well. This from Ash. Too many brain cramp breakout passes from Uyghur and didn't like some of the rush chances for the Red Wings due to some of Anderson's occasional ill-advised offensive zone pinches. In regard to acquiring a top four lefty, do you feel the Flames trading a first-round pick, Miramanov and Pospisil to Buffalo for Owen Power is a fair trade for both sides? Unfortunately, I don't think that would get it done for Buffalo. I mean, Owen Power is a former first overall pick, potential franchise D-man. I don't think an oft healthy scratched defenseman, a bottom six forward, and a first round pick is going to get it done. Like, you're talking multiple picks, top prospect and roster player. If you're going to be talking about Owen Power, that's the caliber that we're talking about with that player. This is, why do trades keep happening at night? NHL, NBA, that comes from Wedley. And yeah, huge trade in the NBA on this Saturday night with Luka Doncic going to the LA Lakers. Francesca says, Todd McLellan looks like Andy Serkis. Maybe. I can see that a little bit. You know, I can see that. And this one from Spencer, super impressed with Frost tonight. His poise with the puck is so good, and he's always looking to make a good play. Thought he was the Flames' best forward tonight and got better and better as the game went on. 960-960 on the text line. Great stuff so far. Keep the text coming on this Saturday night. And now let's get to the phone lines at 403-240-4444. Flames lose 3-1 to the Detroit Red Wings. You're locked on Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's go to Jordan on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Jordan?
You know, just being, I thought Sham's Twitter was hacked because I couldn't believe that down in the NBA. Holy. I swear, I think they saw the NHL and they're like, well, you guys want to try to be crazier than us? That's not going to happen. So, but no, anyways, we'll get off of that. That was nuts. But yeah, first off, shout out. Is it Asim, the phone?
Yes.
Phone guy. Shout out Asim. Cause I usually call in and just say, I want to jump on a phone line without saying my name. And they usually got to ask, but he got it this time without a question.
Well, that's cause he's very good at his job.
He is. He's great. But yeah, no, I was hearing you say that it definitely kind of looked like the new guy's first game with the team at points. But you know, I thought they had some good moments, and I hope I've already heard some stuff on the text line and Twitter and whatnot. I hope people don't jump to conclusions. It's their first game. It's not easy to just jump in like that. Give them some time, and, you know, hopefully when they kind of start building some chemistry and, you know, they'll get it rolling. But on kind of Farabee's game specifically, I liked how he kind of came in. He seemed pretty impactful, kind of all around, at least all around the offensive zone. Liked he just kind of played hard. And then with Frost, I think he kind of found his game a little more as it went on. I liked him on the power play, so I kind of hope that they keep him in that spot there. But yeah, like I said earlier, I'm just excited to kind of see them grow with the team, and hopefully they can start building some of that chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to ask to bring a couple guys in that quick a turnaround getting in, and then also expect there to be a good chunk of chemistry, right? So I thought that knowing that the circumstances were as they are, I thought that debut was pretty good, and I think it'll only get better here as they move forward, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I know it's going to be tough tomorrow as well, just with it being a back-to-back and whatnot. But
and another three games in four nights, third game in four nights, and all that type of stuff. Yes, exactly. The circumstances are not ideal.
No, but it gives them another game opportunity to kind of get in there and hopefully, you know, keep building it against a struggling Kraken team, right? But, like, for you, so, because obviously the Red Wings have been on kind of a run, haven't they? Like, it was probably
going to
be...
this is their fifth straight win.
Yeah, and what, I think I saw something. Is it also their fifth straight win specifically against us?
I believe sixth straight win against the Flames.
Yeah, they've got our number lately. Like, there's something weird there. I think we traded Chicago for Detroit for some reason. But, yeah, anyways, going to Seattle tomorrow. I know you keep up with the Flames, and I really only watch Flames games and stuff. But for you, like, what was Seattle... Can the Flames maybe try to take some advantage of going in there?
Well, I mean, they're well ahead of them in the standings, right? So, I mean, they're a better team this year than Seattle is. They've had a lot of success against the Kraken since Seattle's entered the league. Like, there's a 8-point difference between the two teams going into action. I mean, in the West, you know, everybody outside of the really bottom of the barrel teams, things are pretty competitive, and I don't think Seattle is going to be a pushover, but I do think Calgary has – I would look at the Flames and say, yeah, I mean, they're probably the better group right now, and they're also on the second half of back-to-back, though, so that doesn't – the circumstances aren't necessarily on their side. We'll see if they can go in and take advantage.
Yeah, let's hopefully change this back-to-back record here. And then I was going to – you kind of covered most of it already. I was going to ask you about Backlund. I'm not here to dog on him. I'm not here to bash him. I think he's a great player, great guy, great captain. But, like, yeah, as you said, it looked like he's playing through something. He seems
– I mean, look, again, he is playing through something. Well, I don't know what it is, and – you know, I think that it's pretty clear that he's a little off it and not at his normal kind of Michael Backlund like type of hockey, but he's playing through something and he's not practicing. He's taking a lot of options, so it's definitely something hampering him. He's skating by himself before morning skates. which is not the norm if you're healthy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fighting through something, and I think that there's no doubt that it's definitely impacting his play in some form or another.
Well, yeah, and they give him a ton of work, right? Like he's a workforce out there, so you know you gotta kind of take that how it is. But yeah, that's kind of all I got to say. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Good to hear from you as always, Jordan.
Yeah, have a good rest of the night, rest of the show. Take it easy.
We'll talk soon, buddy.
Have a good one.
403-240-4444 is your phone number. Following a Flames 3-1 loss to Detroit. Let's say hello to George. George is up next. What's up, buddy?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
Good, man. Your phone sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Good. That's good. I was informed earlier that it was, so I was hoping it would stay that way. I really liked Morgan Frost tonight, actually, especially as the game progressed. I think he's really going to be an asset on the power play. I love his entries. He gives us a different look. So he was the one I was more excited for anyway. Like I'm excited for both players, but being the position he plays and you know how good he is on faceoffs and whatnot, but. Yeah, I like them tonight, especially as the game progressed. Obviously, both players, you know, need to acclimate to everything, to the system, to, you know, the fact they came in so late. But, I mean, that's one of the good things about Conroy making that trade now as opposed to the trade deadline, right? It gives you that much more time to acclimate
yes,
to a new team,
sure.
A new city, a new system. So, you know, it's not like even if they would have had bad games tonight, I wouldn't have, you know, panic or anything like that. But it's I'm very interested to see how different certain things look on this team, right? And I know, look, I know we're not going to be scoring 4 or 5 goals every game still just because we brought those two in. But I do, Patty, and this is just me, I do expect the goal scoring to go up a little bit with those two, right? So hopefully,
I honestly don't know if that is going to happen. Like I'm not expecting it to be I'm not suggesting that it won't be. I'm not saying that you're wrong. It's just I don't know. This has been a low scoring team all year, and they've got a little bit more depth for sure. But I do think that they're. I think it's as much scheme and system and style related that this has been a low scoring team than anything else. So I personally, George, I'm not expecting to see a massive uptick in scoring. And you know what? If we're sitting here in April, May, and it has been, then I'll be the first to say that you're right. I guess I'm just not expecting it.
And you make a very valid point. We've had this discussion before, right? And this system's do play a large part in it. The way the team plays does play a large part in it, right? For sure. I agree with everything you say there. But, yeah, like I said, hopefully they help improve it a little. I'm not expecting them to go from low scoring to high scoring. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm hoping that it will help. The other thing, I know the system's kind of conducive to more of defensive style play and more of playing that 2-1, 3-2 style game. I get that. But at the same time, when you have Yegor Sharankovich, like again tonight, missing a wide open net, like that has nothing to do with systems. Like you're right in front of the net, the cage is half wide open, and you shoot it wide. Like I
that one was a little tougher. I'll give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt on that one. I mean, he did a nice job of digging that thing out of a scrum. It was I actually thought that one was a little bit tougher for him to score on. The fact he even got the shot away he did, I thought was more of a credit to the work and being able to make that happen than it being a big-time missed opportunity or one that you're like, oh, you got to score on that. I mean, it would have been nice if he did, but I actually thought there was actually that was more of just a really good hardworking play. You're talking about the one where he kind of skied it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In saying that, though, okay, Kuzmenko's gone now, so, you know, that was one guy we were talking about, oh, we need him to pick up the goals. Well, you know, he's been traded to Philadelphia now. I don't know if it will happen this season. Maybe this season's just going to be one of those years what was an off year for him, but still, you know, like, he's still an important piece of this puzzle. Like, he still needs to do more offensively.
Sharankovich?
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. You know, he absolutely he's still having a down year, and he's still a guy that, you're right, they need more from. And if they could ever get some consistent offense from him, then they'd become a whole lot more of a threat. But that is not, he's had flashes or stretches here and there, but it has not been a normal thing that he's been an offensive impact maker.
Yeah. On the topic of Michael Backlund, it looked like he was laboring out there tonight. Like, I don't know, maybe it's me, maybe it was my observation watching him, but whatever he is dealing with, it seemed to look like it bothered him more than normal tonight. I might be way off on that.
No, I don't think you are. I think a lot of people, I know, it was something that a couple people, you know, just watching in the press box with colleagues. I don't think that you're noticed by people watching the game. I do think it looked a little bit more like it was affecting him tonight than maybe other nights. I think he's been dealing with whatever he's dealing with for a couple weeks now, would be my guess. But yeah, he absolutely looked like he was laboring tonight for sure.
And you know what? Honestly, Patty, he's one of those players where the Four Nations face-off break can't come soon enough, because I think he's going to really need that time off.
Yes.
I think that's going to help him. Hopefully it will help him, because as important of a role as he plays on this team, and we all know what that is, I don't know, man. There comes a point where if it's not better by the time the break happens and we're back to playing NHL hockey again, I wonder if they don't give him, and I'm not saying, scratch him. That's not what I'm saying, but you just want someone to heal properly. Again, because we don't know what the injury it is, we're speculating too, right? Maybe it's an injury where he can't do any further damage to it, but it affects his play, right? So I don't know. Depending on the injury, I just hope that that break really helps him and he can, you know, kind of come back in less pain, I guess, if that's the right terminology to use.
Yeah.
And then finally, I don't know what was going on with Uyghur tonight, but I actually didn't like his game at all tonight. He looked really off tonight. I don't know, again, if it's me, but two players I was really watching closely tonight, Backlund was one of them, and Uyghur was the other. And I don't know if it's because he's not paired with Ball right now or what's going on, but tonight in particular, he looked really off it tonight.
Yeah, probably fair. Couple of instances where he didn't look quite as on it. Thought Rasmus didn't look quite as on it. I mean, we are talking about a team that is missing a big part of their blue line and is kind of piecemealing pairings together. So I think that's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, it's evident that we miss Ball, right? It goes to show how important he has been to this team this year. So I wish him a speedy recovery. Hopefully he can get back in the lineup soon, because we already don't have the best defensive depth, if you will, right? So we'll see. Tomorrow's going to be – seems like every game is a big game because this playoff race is so tight, right? It's just flip-flops back and forth between Vancouver and Calgary. Vancouver made some interesting trades, and I don't know how that's going to go for them. We'll see, but I don't count Vancouver out, you know? Seattle's not a gimme at all tomorrow. I know they're way below us in the standings, but it is a back-to-back. Vladar is most likely going to get that game. So, you know, I hope Vladar bounces back, because his last outing was rough. But, you know, I have faith that he can bounce back, and they really need 2 points tomorrow, Patty. So hopefully they'll get it.
Appreciate the call as always, George.
All right, buddy. You have a great night.
You too, man. The phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Got a few lines open if you want to chat on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Saturday night. Flames fall 3-1 to the Detroit Red Wings. My name is Pat Steinberg. We say hello to Megan. What's up, Megan?
Hello. I'm a bit disappointed with the game tonight. I was hoping that the Flames would win. But I just really want to get your opinion on the whole squid thing. Why are the Detroit fans throwing a squid on the ice? I saw two squids go on the ice tonight.
So this is a long standing thing with the Red Wings. Like we're going, way, way back, like decades. I believe this started like in the 1960s, somewhere in that range. But essentially the legend is that the, there was an octopus thrown on the ice during a playoff game, and it was kind of, if I remember correctly, if I remember my Detroit lore correctly, 1950s, 1960s, somebody threw an octopus on the ice because at that time you needed to win 8 games in the playoffs to win a Stanley Cup. Obviously, 8 arms on an octopus, so it was kind of a symbolic thing, and it just kind of took over. And, you know, the Red Wings haven't been good in quite some time, but if like you go back to the mid late 90s, early 2000s, even into the mid 2000s, late 2000s, when Detroit was a powerhouse and making the playoffs every year and a Stanley Cup contender most years, octopuses were getting thrown on the ice all the time. So that's kind of the reasoning, is it goes way back until like the original six era, and that's and it's still a tradition now. So lots of Red Wings fans in Calgary, and so somebody threw a octopus on or two on the ice tonight.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the explanation, and that's all I had. Go for it.
All right, Megan, I'm glad we could help.
Thank you.
You have a great night. Let's say hello on the phone lines at 403-240-4444 to Parsons. What's up, Parsons?
Hey, brother. I'm just curious how you get an octopus inside the dome.
Well, like the whole, like people, I think that they check for it a little bit more in Detroit. I don't know if there's a big octopus search going on in Calgary, but like people put it in their pants or under their shirts or kind of kind of gross when you think about it.
I wish I got to make a mental note to go to Detroit games because octopus is good eatings.
Delicious. So, and they're also, I feel bad whenever I have octopus because they're such smart things. Like they're such smart little animals.
They are. And they're delicious.
They are pretty delicious as well.
Yeah. Anyways, you know what? I thought we played a good game. I thought the new guys, you know, as much as they could, fit in is good on a short period of time, obviously, but you know, I'm excited for them to acclimate and, you know, get with the rest of the team and on the systems and everything. So and I thought Wolfie had a really good game again tonight. Pat, can I ask you for real, do you think he is seriously in a Calder conversation?
Yes,
at this point.
Yep. Yeah. I do. Yep, I do. And you know, I was even just driving around today and was listening to Sirius XM for a little bit and heard their show talking about how, yep, I think the Calder's going to be a three-horse race with Celebrini, Hudson, and Wolf. And, yeah, I do think that he is going to get Calder, a lot of Calder votes, and I do think the Calder Trophy is voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers Association, so it's writers from all 32 markets, but I do think that Wolf is making more than enough of an impact to get the deserving Calder Trophy votes that he should get.
Do you think it's time to give him a back-to-back, or do you think they go back to Vladdy?
They're 3-4 again, Parse. It's time to go to Vladar.
Okay.
In my opinion, I'm not saying that Steinberg is gospel by no means, but in my opinion, yeah, it's you got to go. You can't start him every night, and in a 3-4, you gotta find ways to rest him. And I think the second half of back to back. Tight turn, travel, all of that. Like, that is a tailor-made Vladar start, and maybe Vladar doesn't play well. Maybe they lose that. But, like, yeah, it is to me, that's a Vladar start all day.
For sure. Klapka, I thought, you know, ever since he got called up again, I think he's been very impactful. He's a hard-hitting guy out there. he's been, in my opinion, very impactful. I hope they do not send him back down. You know, like, I thought I heard you say something earlier about maybe switching things up or something like that, but I really hope.
I'm not even suggesting they should. You know, I didn't love Klapka as much tonight. I mean, obviously he was a man possessed on Thursday against Anaheim, you know, against a slightly better team. Didn't love him as much. Didn't like that line at all. That was Calgary's weak link tonight. At forward was the fourth line. So I just wonder if they do make some changes because that line struggled the way they did.
Well, I think that's a little unfair to him because he was out there making major hits and, you know, in my opinion, making some impact, whereas sometimes, you know, the fourth line can be a roll of the dice, you know, whether you have Rooney or whoever out there. But, you know, Klapka, the one thing that you can get from him for sure is he's out there making hard hits and being impactful. And, yeah, you're right, the game before, he was like a man possessed. And that's a guy on our fourth line. Like, you know, I just hope they give the guy a little bit of runway. You know what I mean? Like,
I do too. I probably wouldn't myself make a change on the fourth line. Like, I didn't love it tonight. I thought it was the weak link line. But the other guy to come in would be Rooney, and I don't know if Rooney's going to make much of a difference. I'd like to see Klapka stay in. I'd like to see Bishop stay in. Second half of a back-to-back, you sometimes manage kind of energy and fatigue levels a little bit different in that. So that's why I could see them making a change. And I'm not obviously as aware of those things the coaching staff is going to be. So maybe they do make a change because of that.
Well, if they do, I hope they keep Klapka in there because he's out there stapling guys to boards. And in my opinion, he's been, in his short period of time, he's been impactful. Weegar, I think he's been kind of off, not just this game, but I think going back the last 3 to 4 games-ish. Do you think this Four Nations thing is like...
I don't think so anymore. I don't think so.
Because
I don't think so anymore.
Okay. It just seems like he's making a lot of mental errors out there. Maybe it's just me.
Tonight, maybe he did, but I don't think it's Four Nations related.
Okay, fair. Miraman off over Barry. Do you think Miramanov's an upgrade over Barry?
I don't know at this point.
Because I thought Barry was kind of impactful, like maybe not this game, but like the last couple of games, I thought he was at least useful, if that makes any sense.
I think he struggles defensively. You know, he was part of the reason why the game-winning goal went in. He was all over the place chasing. So he does at times hurt you defensively. In saying that, Miramanov has struggled as well. They still have high hopes for him. And so as a result, I do think he's going to get back in at some point. But whether it is this game... whether it's this game on Sunday or not, I don't know.
Okay. One last one for you. This one's out of left field. I've been kind of thinking about this for a bit, but what do you think about Calgary trying to go after the young buck, Matt Rempe?
Where's GVP? Where's Garrett Vanderplug of the morning show? And get his thoughts on that. Honestly, I think Matt Rempe is a cool story. And I think it's neat that he was a Calgary minor hockey product. I have no problem with him being in a lineup, but I don't really know what he's gonna like. What does he add here that they need?
Well, I'll give you an example. He's a very good skater. He's very good on the forecheck. He puts fear in people on the forecheck. Like, can you imagine the fourth line of Klapka and Rempe? That would be insane. But yeah, just, and you know what? And he's a young enforcer if needed, you know, maybe to help the young guys maybe stand an inch taller like when Leach was around. No offense to him, you know.
Lomberg.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of infatuated with that. I hope we take a stab at it, but that's all I got, brother.
You have yourself a great night. Appreciate it as always, Parse.
Take care, man.
You too. 403-240-4444. I don't have anything against Rempe. I don't know if that's what the Flames need right now. He's right. Klapka and Rempe on the same line would be pretty menacing. The only problem is they both shoot right, so unlikely they'd be on the same line together. So, yeah, that would be my response to that. Couple lines open if you want to chat on our Flames Talk postgame show on this Saturday night. Once again, 403-240-4444 is your phone number. The text line is at 960-960. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming at you from the Hot Stove Lounge here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome on a Saturday night. Lots more to get to as we continue along. The Flames fall 3-1 to Detroit here at the Dome, and more of your phone calls. In fact, I'll put it out there right now. Last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, do so now. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you. If you want to become a new caller, though, now is your last call. Call now, 403-240-4444. Keep those texts coming as well at 960-960. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, following a 3-1 loss to Detroit, our Flames Talk post-game show rolls on this Saturday night into Sunday morning. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now's the time to do so. Call now, 403-240-4444, and get your texts in. Keep those coming at 960-960. The only goal for the Flames tonight came off the stick of Nazem Kadri. He's up to 18 goals on the season. Let's hear from Nazem Kadri. Our final look inside the Flames locker room with Nazem Kadri right now.
How did you see that one tonight, Nazem?
I think we, you know, probably deserved to win, I'd say. Really liked most of our game. And obviously, you know, a couple of breakdowns that, you know, they're an opportunistic team. You know, team that's got talent on their roster, and they made us pay. But, you know, for the most part, I think we were pretty good tonight.
Nazem, it was Joel's debut today, obviously, with you guys. He played on your line. Just kind of, what do you think of his game?
Well, it's always hard coming into a new team. You know, everything happens so quick. It's just like, you know, you got to put everything else that's going on off the ice aside and come up ready to play. And I think he did a great job tonight and had lots of energy, made some plays with the puck. And you know, I think we, you know, had some good chemistry tonight.
What did you see on your goal? Like a nice screen from Coleman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just tried to kind of catch him off guard with a quick up on the power play and just tried to delay and get as much ice as possible and felt like there was some room to attack and just tried to pick a corner and, you know, win.
Do you feel like it puts more pressure on the second half of a back-to-back when you don't get the result you're looking for in the first one?
Probably. You always want to split them, right? I mean, that's the goal. You never want to go down two, but I don't really think it matters a ton because even if you win the first one, you probably want to win the second one as well. So, you know, we're going to have our best effort. You know, good team, tough schedule for us, but we'll be ready to go.
Particularly on the power play, Frost does catch the eye with his skill set. You think it's going to be good for the group there?
Yeah, on Michael you were talking about?
Well, just Frost in general on the power play. Like you did
I thought he was good again. I mean, it's really difficult, the situation they were put in. And, you know, I think they're, you know, mentally it's not easy. I think they did a great job just kind of, you know, we tried to make them feel as comfortable as possible. But at the end of the day, you got to get to know your teammates. And, you know, I thought they both played well tonight.
There you go. That is Nazem Kadri postgame. Our final look inside the Flames locker room following this 3-1 loss to the Red Wings. Back to the text line we go now at 960-960, starting with Dawson, who says, Hanley being the only defenseman even, he's been surprisingly solid. Honestly, like Joel Hanley has been, where would they be without that guy being as steady as he's been? You know, he stepped in and really helped solidify things for Mackenzie Weegar and allowed Weegar to play more on the right side. And I think that has really helped Mackenzie. And so he's been just fine there. He, of late, has been playing with Rasmus Anderson, and he's been just fine there. I mean, he's been a pretty cool story this year. Is he an everyday top four NHL defenseman? No, probably not. But he's still really done a nice job providing them some stability back there. And he's been way more important than anybody thought he would have been this season. I think that is very fair to say. This reads, I like the effort tonight from Frost and Farabee. Definitely came as advertised. I noticed Frost was on the first power play unit. Am I right in thinking this is because he's good at carrying the puck into the zone? That is a big part of it. Yes, Theo. That was from Theo. Yes, absolutely. That's a big part of it. One of the main reasons they immediately put him on that power play unit. Plus, he's a pretty good facilitator. You know, he's not like a distributor quite the same way Huberdeau is, but does a nice job of, like, you know, especially kind of at that pivot spot on the left side half boards, kind of being able to facilitate things and move things back and forth. So I think a few different reasons. Got a little creativity in his playmaking, but the entry's a big part of it. And some face-offs as well, a second face-off option for them there. Jim says, it feels like Conroy traded for Conroy 2.0 in Morgan Frost. Yeah, fair enough. Some similarities there for sure, I think, actually. This reads, would love to talk to Pat about Frost. How do we see what we need from him? Well, I mean, I think it was a good start, and I think that he, all things considered, went, what did he end up in the faceoff dot? 50%, but what did it end up being? He went 6-6 in the faceoff dot tonight, which is a nice start. And for the guy that, you know, is number one on this team now in faceoffs, him going 50% is a nice start. This says, do you think the new guys might have been struggling with the altitude here? Take some time to adjust to. I could absolutely seeing that being a part of it. So not only do you go from tight turn, fairly hectic going from Philadelphia to Calgary, long flight, lot of travel, all that type of stuff. And then, yeah, you go into, what, the second highest elevation in the NHL? I think that could very well have been something they were battling. You go from being a whole lot closer to sea level on the East Coast and now coming into the mountains, and I think the Calgary's the second highest elevation in the NHL, second only to Denver. So, that could very well have been a part of it. This from Levi in Nanton. I like the Flames today. Really liked Farabee and Frost. Haven't watched enough of them, but think they won that trade. And I don't think they've had a better GM than Conroy. I like all the moves he's made and can't wait to see more moves from him. And I don't know, or, you know, I'm not really concerned about whether or not they won this trade, honestly, but I do think the trade is a win for the Flames. Getting these two guys, and regardless of what it turns into for Philly got some cap space going into the offseason, which is important. They got some picks, all that type of stuff. I don't know if they won it compared to the Flyers, or won it and Philly lost it, or lost it and Philly won it. To me, it's more just, I think, getting these two players into the mix, I think that is a real important, and I think it's a win for the Flames. What else we got here? 960. Francis in Mahogany says, Matt Coronado is my favorite Flame right now, not named Dustin Wolf. From the beginning of the year until now, I believe he's the most improved and made the most strides on this roster. Again, besides Wolf, do you agree? I think he's made some massive strides. I think that's probably very fair to say. And honestly, maybe more strides than Wolf, because it's not like Wolf hasn't been good all year. He has been. And so is Matt, but Matt has done a really good job of just improving and getting more comfortable and more impactful. Yeah, I agree. From start to finish, or start to now, I think absolutely he's the guy that has made the most improvement. This from Dale. This says, Morgan Frost looks exactly like Johnny. Same mannerisms, same sayings, even hit us with a couple you know. Obviously, he's in the post-game interview, and he comes to us from Philly. Johnny's watching over us. That's a nice sentiment, Dale. I like that. This reads, 960-960. Good evening, Pat. Disappointing loss tonight. Flames seemed flat. What are your thoughts on the Miller trade in Vancouver? Also, do you feel they got better? That comes from Fred in Cranston. Do I feel they got better? Not in terms of their roster. I think that they did not get better. I mean, they did bring in, as part of the return in the Miller trade, did allow them to go get Pettersson, and I do think that makes them better right now, because Pettersson, I think, really solidifies them on the back. But losing JT Miller, who's a, you know, 80-90 point, 100 point guy, they didn't replace that. And Hedl's good player, but he's not JT Miller. The only thing that might help the Canucks turn this into somewhat of a win is by excising that drama, right? If that drama was as bad as it's made out to be by some of the media and just how much of a circus that's turned into, getting rid of that, not so much getting rid of Miller, but changing the dynamic, that might be a win for them. Murray in Brentwood says, I thought Wolf lost his net on the second goal, or was at least cheating to the middle of the ice. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it did kind of go right through him, but it was also the result of a complete scramble in front of him. So I thought Wolf was still very strong tonight. This reads, Pat, just wanted to ask your opinion on the build of this team. Do you see some parallels between this group and the 04 roster? I don't like to compare anything to the 2004 roster. I really don't, just because that was such a unicorn, special, lightning in a bottle, never be recreated type year. So, honestly, not overly. And the reason I say that is because there's no Jerome Iginla on this team. And Jerome Iginla was a bona fide superstar, 40-50 goal threat. You know, like, there wasn't a Iginla on there's not an Iginla on this team. And that, and even still, I try not to compare anything to 2004. There you go on the text line tonight at 960-960. Let's get back to the phone lines following a Flames 3-1 loss to the Detroit Red Wings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome tonight. A few more calls before we wrap up. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's say hello to David. What's going on, David? David, you there? David going once. David going twice. And
hey,
no,
sorry,
David.
My phone was on mute. My apologies.
There we are. What's up, David?
I'm in your fair city, and I thought I'd better give you a call while I'm here. And
It's this David.
It's David from the Jets fan now, by way of Cape Breton, but I'm visiting Calgary, and I saw some Red Wing jerseys. Thought, oh, I better give Mr. Steinberg a call, because I didn't give you a chance to gloat a little bit when the Flames beat the Jets a couple weeks ago. So thought I'd call in. And I did want to respond to a couple things I heard, and then I want to ask you a couple questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
First, I want to, like, with trades, I think people are way too focused on who won the deal when it just happened.
Agreed.
I want to give you an example of that. When the Neil Pionk trade happened with Jacob Trouba, I didn't like it. People around the league thought it was a terrible trade. Everyone declared the Rangers the victor. And now looking back at it, and it hasn't been too long, I mean, that is a decisive, huge win for the Jets in that trade. So you never know what's going to happen. And there's more than one way to win a trade, too, like addition through subtraction, getting a locker room cancer out of the room. So it's just way too early to say anything about these trades, either the Canucks or the Flames. You need to give that a lot of time, because there's so many moving parts, and it's just impossible to know the different layers of what's going to happen there. So that's the first thing I just wanted to respond to.
And I agree.
I think it's hard not to get involved in that, especially once your team. You want to evaluate everything right away and declare winners and losers, but that takes time. I also wanted to – so I wanted to ask you a question. Do you know how the whiteout came to be in Winnipeg?
Not 100%.
So
I'm gonna date myself a little bit. I'm going to age myself. By the way, you explaining to a younger caller why the Red Wings have octopus thrown on the ice and how they used to be good in the 90s. I age like Matt Damon in Saving Private Ryan here. because, holy smokes, I didn't think it was that long ago, but I guess the 90s are kind of from the past. In the 80s, the Jets and the Flames played in the second round of the playoffs, I think it was, and the Flames were just starting to do the Sea of Red. For some reason, you guys gave it up in the 90s. I don't know why. And the Jets marketing team was like, you know what, we got to respond. And they came up with the whiteout as kind of a response to the Sea of Red.
Interesting. I like that.
There's a reason I'm asking you that. And I bet if you look at the standings, it won't take you long to figure out why I'm bringing that up.
Yes, because if the playoffs were to start, and I was very much dialed on this in those two games in 8 days, the two teams played mm-hmm. against one another, it was kind of one of those things you're like, oh boy, like this could be a first round playoff preview.
Spring. Yes, I think indeed. We're destined. I think it's going to happen. I hope it happens. I love a Canadian matchup, and I don't think Vancouver is going to do it. And I think this might bite me in the butt in a couple months. I don't think Calgary is that much better than Vancouver. I think they're kind of getting their way, and but they have Dustin Wolf. And when you have a hot goaltender who can win you games, I think he'll drag them to playoffs. And so I'm really hoping there's a Flames-Jets round one. That'll be a lot of fun. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I feel like, one, the Flames will make it. And
all Canadian, I'm always for that. Like, you know, I know that some people don't like it because it means one Canadian team gets eliminated, but just the buzz and the atmosphere in both arenas. I mean, there's a decent amount of traveling Flames fans that go to Jets games, but the you know, just knowing that there are so many Manitoba transplants in this city, like yourself, for instance, the atmosphere here at the Dome would be awesome. You know, I think it'd kind of rival the Battle of Alberta from a few years ago. I think it'd be great if they met, and I think it'd be a pretty good series too.
I do think it would be a good series. I'm really hoping that they get over the hump this year. The Jets, they've made things difficult for us in round one, us Jets fans. But I think maybe this is the year. So no, that's another thing I wanted to respond to is I heard you talking about the 0-4 Flames and again the. And I swooned a little bit because I have a real soft spot in my heart still for that 0-4 team. That was pure magic. And I cannot believe how long ago that was. I mean, 21 years ago.
21 years, man.
That's ridiculous. That's almost a quarter century. That's BS. Like, there's no way. I cannot believe how
Talk
long
about
ago that was.
Yourself. And you and I can probably remember vividly all kinds of stuff that happened in that. Like, there was so many things that made that one of the most memorable things and memorable times for
amazing.
So many people in this city. It truly was.
And the whole city came together because I'm going to get off on a slight tangent here. My apologies, but I don't think people appreciate, and like, I think maybe you'll remember, hockey in Canada wasn't dying, but the NHL was. And I think there was a real sense across Canada that the league was slipping away from our fingers. This is before the salary cap. Winnipeg had gone, Quebec had gone, and really it was looking like Vancouver and Toronto maybe the only markets that were viable in the NHL because the Rangers were buying Stanley Cups, the Red Wings were buying Stanley Cups. I still spit on the ground when I think about the 90s hockey like that. And I'm telling you that to this day, I still believe it wholeheartedly that the Flames going to the Cup final, and they should have won because we did win in Game 6 as far as I'm concerned. And I'll say we here because back then I was invested.
You were a Flames fan then, yes.
I was. They went in Game 6, and I think a big reason that hockey came back as big as it did was that Cup run. It was much more important than the Oilers Cup run 2 years later because it was before the cap came in and people had hope again. And I'm telling you, a lot of Jets fans looked at that and thought, hey, that looks like a lot of fun. I think we should get a team back. I think, why not us? And so I think that Cup run was so important because the whole country if you weren't living in Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver, the league felt like it was just not interested in Canada anymore. It was getting too big for Canada, which seems crazy now, but like that's what it was. Like that, I'm telling you, like that was the sentiment across the country. And Jets fans thought, why not?
Well, because at that time they were the first Canadian team in a Stanley Cup final since what, Montreal?
I don't think a team went back since Montreal. Yeah, and
93.
And this was after all the two teams had left Canada. The salary cap kept escalating. Teams weren't, and this is before Edmonton, you know, started printing money. I guess I guess the truck nut industry is exploding up there. Who knows where people are getting their money from? But yeah, it's a very different vibe. And so, like Jet fans, and we would think, why not us? I'm going to end the call on this. 2025. Winnipeg, why not us? Why not us, Pat? Let us have a little bit of something. It was good talking to
you. You too, Dave. Good to hear from you, man. Appreciate it as always. I'm sure we'll be hearing from him if the Flames and Jets do meet in round one of the playoffs this year. Let's say hello to Francesco on the phone lines tonight. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Pat, how are you doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on the Hot Stove Lounge this evening. Tough one for the Flames. They almost pulled it off. Detroit's a heck of a team. They're led by the Yzerman, and no Patrick Kane either. But Detroit's looking good for the playoffs right now with that new head coach. But that Larkin goal, I mean, people don't realize. They don't really talk about his speed, but man, he holds the record.
He's a burner for sure.
Hey,
that dude can burn for sure.
He still has the record, I think, in the All-Star game for the fastest skating around the lap there. So he's even Connor McDavid hasn't even taken down that record yet. But I think the Flames all play Detroit tonight, and they just got to get those shots through. Too many shots hitting the opposition's legs, and just find a way to get the puck through. You don't have to always rip it hard, but.
Yeah, definitely. Detroit did a good job of getting in lanes and disrupting things. Detroit blocked 23 shots tonight compared to 13 for Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the stats here, and the only thing the Red Wings outmatched us in was faceoffs, and that was just barely. So good on the Flames. Frost and Farabee, two former first rounders, I hear. Farabee had 22 goals, his league best, or his best ever last year. So I see why Conroy wants to give him a shot with Huberto and Kadri there. I think they looked good, but in the end, it's a dance. And if you don't have the chemistry in the beginning, that's going to be tough. I think they did an amazing job, considering they had two brand new guys and enter the game and play on a roll, and that was a close call. But I read that Wolf is the rookie of the month for January. Is that correct?
Correct.
So is there an award for that? Did he win another award? Or
I mean, it's an NHL thing that they do. They do a rookie of the month every month. They do three stars of the month. They do rookie of the month. And so he was the rookie of the month. He had a really good month of January.
It's like the employee of the month, pretty much, is, you know, your name and picture goes on the wall somewhere.
Pretty much. That's actually pretty good. That's a pretty good. It is. It's not really an award. He doesn't want a trophy or anything like that. But
well, somebody should just frame a photo of him, get it signed, and say, you know, have it titled Player of the Month for NHL January.
And with no disrespect to the with no disrespect to the award, I don't think that. You know, I don't really think that he's going to be too concerned about being rookie of the month. He cares about wins, and that's all that guy cares about.
Well, he looked great tonight again. I saw him in the post game interview, and man, that guy he looks pretty ripped, in good shape, and you know, he's got legs, and I can understand his lateral movements are so quick. It kind of reminds me of how an octopus can go from side to side so quickly, you know. But
In regards to the alien invasion, if I may touch on the subject, the octopus, that's so the other night in Edmonton, same thing happened. Detroit wins that game. I guess this is the second game in Alberta. They had to throw two octopus on the ice. It's probably all started with the nachos 3 games ago in Edmonton, but...
Well, no, as we talked about, the people have been throwing octopi on the ice since the 50s when it comes to Red Wings.
It's in February in Alberta, and those octopus look pretty fresh and large to me. Does the Salad Dome serve sushi or...
You can go to fish markets and find octopus, Francesco. Let's call it a night, my friend. You have a great night, hey?
I just think that two sushi restaurants are missing their order.
Octopus is delicious. Order. Bye, Francesco. Octopus is delicious. I will say that. Our last call tonight is Marcus. What's up, Marcus?
What's good, my guy?
Not much, man. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been 2 years since I called in.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this Marcus you used to call in all the time?
Yeah, every once in a while. How you been, Pat?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Your stamina is just the same. I'm impressed. You're one of the best broadcasters we've ever had, so it's good to hear you on the line.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Well, speaking facts, right?
Well, thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I probably haven't watched a game since the Gaudreau boys were honored. And previous to that, the Winter Classic. Because, I'm the elephant in the room guy. Like, this ownership structure is such a joke. Like, we are not going to win in the next 10 years. This is ridiculous, but I logged in for the boys that got drafted tonight or traded for tonight.
Yeah.
They look good, you know. Barbie, I didn't really see much of him, but Frost, wow, what a presence and poise with that puck, I tell you. He's a good pickup. Like, that's like almost a straight across for Pelche, in my view. And you take that any day, right?
I do think that there is a lot of poise and presence. I think those are both really good words to use. I think there's a lot of that with Morgan Frost. He's got a good player, and I think that he really fills an important void on this team down the middle.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about the team in general, like my previous statement? Because I don't know, like, personally, I saw what happened last year coming. Like, Beans got up in front of the microphone and was like, you know, we've got Markstrom and this and that. And the retribution thing went from spitting chiclets to Frank. Everybody was on board. The only one that said, no, it's not going to happen was Rhett. Like,
what are we talking about?
After Sutter got fired.
Yeah.
And everyone was selling us on the retribution season, like it was going to be the bounce back of ages, and everybody was on board. They were going to the playoffs, and even with an exceptional Markstrom, because you know, like the previous season, Markstrom tanked, and then after Sutter was traded or fired, Markstrom had like a stellar season, and we pretty much had the same team, if not better, less Lucic, right? I'm just curious, like, how the management didn't see that coming, like, the fall-off. Like, they should have been trading assets, like, before the season instead of, anyways, like, where are you with all that? Because, like, I don't think they're going to challenge for a conference final in the next 10 years.
I'm not quite sure what did you want Conroy to do? And Conroy's been on the job for...
Conroy's a great general manager, but he's strapped. Like, he's kind of...
He's been on the job for 18 months or so.
He's done a great job, but it's
the ownership. He's traded away Toffoli, Zadorov, Lindholm, Tanev, Hanifin,
which was a reaction
Markstrom, and Mangiapane. But regardless, he's traded away seven core pieces in 18 months and haven't replaced any one of those guys with a player anywhere near the caliber that they were before. Like, this whole idea that they've been hell-bent on trying to stay competitive, I don't even know how you can frame that argument, because, like, they did everything that they were supposed to.
The only reason why they're good is because of Wolf. We're going to lose that first-round pick to Montreal. Like, there's no question. But
probably.
My point is that they should have dumped all those players before they thought they were going to have the retribution season. You know, like, you know, I'm not a Sutter acolyte, but, you know, you say anything positive about him, Pinder says stuff like we're Trump heads or something, but I don't know.
Marcus, I just got to jump in. Like, based on, like, in our conversation, Pat and Marcus, who cares what Pinder said? Not who cares what Pinder says. I love Pinder, and he makes great points, and I love that
he's
show and all that.
Absolutely,
he's one of the best broadcasters I've ever worked with. But, like, he's not here. Like, what? Why do you keep bringing up what Pinder's saying?
No, it's just like a stigma that kind of goes around. I'm like saying, like, I'm not a Sutter acolyte, and there's kind of stigmas attached with that. But, like, I'm just surprised the management couldn't see that he was the one that actually made them 30% better. And we saw that effect when he
left. Again, Marcus, like, Sutter's been gone for 18 months.
My point is the brass didn't see the downfall that season, and they should have unloaded, like, assets before they realized that it wasn't a retribution season. You know, Conroy's doing a great job, but, like, he's managing a team that the ownership is telling him that he has to, you know, fiddle with and retool instead of rebuild. It's really sad. That's all I have to say about that. But just curious what you thought. Sorry if it was confusing.
I'm quite enjoying what Conroy's trying to build here. You know, he may not be able to completely blow this thing up and start it from the studs, but I think he's done a pretty good job of making him younger. I thought he just had a hell of a draft in Vegas in June. You know, they've got themselves a franchise goalie, it looks like. Maybe they've got themselves a high-end kind of foundational D-man in Zane Parekh, who's having a hell of a run here with Saginaw. So I don't know. Marcus, like,
back end is going to be great. Good point.
I don't know, and again, you're not the only one who feels this way. It's too early for me to say that. No, I mean, they're just gonna be the same old, and never go anywhere. I mean, I'm, and as for them trading players away prior to last season, they traded them all away anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what.
Well,
the
my point was
relevance
like they
of that
just
is
it to the studs like this. Mushy
yeah, but that was never gonna happen.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know. I think Conroy's doing a pretty good job under the circumstances.
Sell the team, Edwards, please. Anyways, take care, Patty. Have a great night. You're one of the best, man.
Thanks, Marcus. Be well, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, likewise.
All right, man. And that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. That'll wrap us up on the text line tonight as the Flames end up falling 3-1 to Detroit here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Time now for our final summary. As the Flames never had a lead in this game, Detroit opened the scoring at 8:27 of the first period. Dylan Larkin makes it 1-0 with his 23rd of the season. Larkin from Christian Fisher and Dominic Schein. And it was 1-0 Red Wings. And then a bit of a backbreaker in the final minute of the first period. Simon Edvinson makes it 2-0 Detroit with the eventual game winner. His fifth from Jonathan Berggren. And Elmer Soderblom at 19:14 was 2-0 Detroit after 20 minutes of play. No scoring in the middle frame, despite the Flames having all kinds of opportunities. Could not beat Cam Talbot. They finally beat Talbot just before the midway mark of the third period. A power play goal from Nazem Kadri. He rips home his 18th of the year to give the Flames some life. Kadri from Mackenzie Weegar and Matt Coronato at 8:34. Power play goal made it 2-1, but the Red Wings seal it into the empty net in the final minute of the third period. Andrew Kopp makes it 3-1. with his 10th. Alex DeBrincat, Vladimir Tarasenko, the assist at 19:06. That empty net goal got us to a 3-1 score, which ends up being your final score. Final shots, 34-24 in favor of the Flames. Calgary goes 1-for-2 on the power play tonight. Detroit 0-for-0. They did not get a power play in this game this evening. Your three stars in the building tonight. Number 3, Dustin Wolf. Number 2, Nazem Kadri. And the number 1 star with 33 saves was Cam Talbot. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Nazem Kadri. With the loss, Flames fall to 25-19-7. They're back in action tomorrow, Sunday, in Seattle, while Detroit improves to 26-21-5. They're back in action tomorrow, Sunday, on the road in Vancouver. That is your final summary, and now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Randy Opperman, for our reporter, Matty Rose, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up, Flames are into Seattle for Sunday night. So if you're listening live, it's probably tomorrow. If you're listening on Sunday morning, well, it's later on tonight. Sunday, 7 o'clock face-off, 6 o'clock warm-up from Climate Pledge Arena. Of course, we'll have the pregame show for you at 6 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome tonight. Flames fall 3-1 to Detroit. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.